Christians, let me ask you this morning. What are we supposed to do now? All of us Christians in America who love the Lord and try to follow His Word and love this country, what in the world are we supposed to do now? We've been 11 months in lockdown and quarantine. 380,000 Americans dead with coronavirus. We watched the economy go down the drain. We saw an election stolen right in front of our very eyes. And even though we prayed our guts out for 2 solid months, unless God does a miracle, a 78-year-old man with onset dementia will become the next president of the United States and lead the most radical administration in the history of this country. So what are we supposed to do? And you'd think with some vaccines out there, we'd start coming out of this pandemic. But we don't know if the powers that be are ever going to let that happen. So what in the world is the Church of Jesus Christ supposed to do in this seemingly impossible situation? Well, we're going to answer that. We're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called Post-COVID Church, looking at what we Christians need to do for the Lord, for people, and for this country in the crazy times we're living in. And we're going to start this series this morning, first of all, by understanding the situation that we are really in. And to see that, we turn today to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. If you have your Bibles, turn them with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I'll read verses 8 and 9 for the context. Paul writes, "But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me." And let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, in these times we do have all kinds of opportunities to ministry. But Lord, there is so much opposition today. I pray You just show us how much is out there, what our situation is, and how much we need to be trusting You above all things. I pray You'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray You'd open Your Word and teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the Apostle Paul is at Ephesus, and he's wrapping up his first letter to the Corinthian church. And in our text today, Paul tells them what his situation is. He's got an opportunity to do all kinds of incredible ministry there at Ephesus, but there are buku things going against him. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, that's exactly the same situation that we Christians are in America right now. Our text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, tells us three things that we need to understand about the situation we're in right now. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to understand about our situation is we are facing leftist tyranny. And all because of what happened in Washington, D.C. last January the 6th, when hundreds of thousands of people showed up for a Trump rally on the Mall. President Trump was supposed to speak at the Ellipse, and then everybody was supposed to walk to the Capitol building 2 miles away to support the president while Congress was certifying the electoral votes. And people from our church who was there said that at first it was a wonderful time. Christians and patriots meeting each other and singing hymns and singing the national anthem and praying together. But there's a lot of non-Christians that were there too. Everybody from skinheads to Black Lives Matter to Antifa in their black bloc clothes. And the FBI reports that violent fringe groups had planned to attack the Capitol building that day for over 3 weeks. And they busted into the Capitol building even before President Trump started to speak. And during that speech, President Trump specifically told people in the crowd to protest peacefully and patriotically. But by that time, the Capitol building had already been breached. And some Trump supporters got inside too. And congressional offices were vandalized. People even got into the Senate chamber. A 35-year-old Trump supporter named Ashley Babbitt was shot and killed. 3 other protesters died from heart attacks. And 1 Capitol Hill policeman died from a stroke. That's what happened. But of course, the left took that narrative and twisted it and ran hog wild with it. Insurrection, they said. Bloody coup attempt. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer even likened it to the Japanese attack at Pearl Harbor, saying this, This was an all-out attack on our country, our Constitution, our rule of law, our brave police, our way of life. Just like the attack on Pearl Harbor, January 6th is a day that will live in infamy. Are you kidding me? Now, was that something that was good that happened in the Capitol? Of course not. People died. But nobody took any hostages. Government opened up right away just a few hours later. And trust me, the nuclear codes were never in danger at all. But of course, it was all President Trump's fault because he started a riot and sent his stormtroopers to Capitol Hill with blood in their eye. So last Wednesday, based on no evidence whatsoever, he was impeached for the second time for fomenting a riot against the United States, which is absolutely ridiculous because how do you start a riot when the riot's already started before you can do any of the so-called inciting to start with? And you know what's even crazier than that? Now the left cares about riots? Now the left cares about Constitution and threat to democracy? Now the left cares about the police? Because all last summer, Antifa and Black Lives Matter burned major parts of cities to the ground and looted businesses and killed dozens of civilians and killed and injured over 1,000 different cops. $2 billion in damage, the costliest man-made disaster in the history of the entire U.S. insurance industry. And all those so-called champions of democracy did absolutely nothing except make excuses for it. Oh, we need to understand their frustration. We need to listen to their grievances. Last summer, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris said this about the riots. The riots are not going to stop. This is a movement. Everybody beware. They're not going to let up, and they should not let up. So she encouraged inside a rioted there. And not only that, she contributed, raised money to contribute millions and millions of dollars to bail out the people who were arrested for doing the rioting. Yep. Folks, the hypocrisy takes your breath away. Impeaching President Trump. Why don't we impeach Kamala Harris? But you never let a good crisis go to waste. So now the left is using January the 6th in an attempt to install tyranny in the United States by saying President Trump and everybody who challenges the election is dangerous and a threat to democracy, which is absolutely stupid because the left challenges every election of every president who's a Republican. They challenged the election of President Trump in 2016 for 4 solid years, even called him a Russian spy, but that wasn't a threat to democracy. So Senators Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz get up on the floor of the joint session that day and object to electoral vote. They're called traitors. And they're asked to resign. Joe Biden even compared them to Hitler's propaganda minister, Joseph Goebbels. Folks, it's absolutely outrageous because those two senators were simply following a perfectly legal process that our founding fathers purposely laid out in the Constitution so people could legitimately challenge an election. And those two senators had every right to do it. Military computer analysts demonstrated how Dominion voting machines in multiple states switched hundreds of thousands of votes from Trump to Biden in unexplainable 1,200 and 2,000 vote blocks. 7 different states were so convinced there was fraud in the election, they sent alternate slates of electors to Washington, D.C. Since 2010, there have been 103 successfully prosecuted cases of election fraud in the exact same 6 swing states that determined the 2020 election. Harvard University reports that because of 2020, U.S. election integrity now ranks 57th in the world, which is the worst election integrity of any developed country on the planet. Media didn't tell you that, did they? People, listen to me. Don't let them kid you. The real threat to democracy did not happen back on January the 6th on Capitol Hill. The real threat to democracy happened on November 3rd and 4th on election night. But now, the all-knowing left has determined that anybody who questions the election is dangerous and needs to be silenced for the sake of the country. So last week, the Great Purge began. When socialist media, like Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, and Jack Dorsey of Twitter suspended President Donald Trump's account, and also for lawyer Sidney Powell, and also for General Michael Flynn. And because the socialist media all work in lockstep, Then it was Facebook, Google, teamed up to try to silence all conservative speech by deplatforming Parler, Twitter's number one competitor. And because all of you Trump supporters are just white racist domestic terrorists, and because all of you were on Capitol Hill last January the 6th, and all of you busted into that building, and all of you are responsible for killing that white Capitol Hill policeman, you need to be deplatformed too. Which is an absolute joke, because all last summer during the Black Lives Matter riots, none of those tech companies, not one of them, ever deplatformed Black Lives Matter. Not only that, they contributed gazillions of dollars to fund the organization to help them keep doing the rioting. Hypocrisy knows no bounds. Folks, what we are looking at here is the greatest act of leftist tyranny, the greatest assault on free speech in the history of this country, all in the name of keeping you safe. Welcome to 1984. And I know there's some never-Trumpers listening to the sermon right now, absolutely loving this. You Trump supporters are getting exactly what you deserve. Told you you should have stayed away from the guy. But don't gloat, because you're next. If the left can take away the constitutional rights of the President of the United States, the left can sure enough take away your rights too. And they will. So the question is, what are you going to do about the tyranny? I know what I'm going to do. Right now, 10 different towns in Texas have passed laws against abortion and declared themselves sanctuary cities for the unborn. And over half of all counties in the state of Illinois have declared themselves gun sanctuaries, so no federal legislature or gun grabber can infringe on their right to bear arms. So today, by the power invested in me, I am declaring that Fox River Church is a sanctuary church for the United States Constitution and all of our God-given constitutional rights. Not so somebody can come in here and do something illegal and be shielded by the law, but so all of us can come in here and do everything legally afforded us by the law and by the Constitution. So if some fascist leftist politician out there takes away our constitutional rights out there, all your constitutional rights still apply in here. Because this is private property. And the deep state stops at the edge of our lot, and this piece of the nation is still under God. So if you don't have the right to gather for worship out there, you still have the right to gather for worship in here. If you don't have the right to free speech out there, you still have the right to free speech in here. Just don't talk during my sermons, because I'm a one-man act and I work alone. If you don't have the right to use your phone out there, you do have the right to use your phone in here. But if your phone rings during a service, the call better be from God and it better be for me. If you don't have the right to freedom of expression and you have to wear a mask out there, you do have the right to freedom of expression and you don't have to wear a mask in here. If you don't have the right to petition government out there, you've got a right to do something even better in here, and that's position God Almighty Himself, because He will answer you a lot faster and do far more for you than government ever could. If they take away your Second Amendment rights out there, your Second Amendment rights still apply in here. And all you Christian gun owners know exactly what that means without me having to say anything about it at all. Every single one of your constitutional rights still applies in this place, because you are not terrorists, you're not insurrectionists, you are born again, spirit-filled children of the living God, and because your rights come from God and not from government, government cannot take those rights away. So we are not separating ourselves from the United States, we are preserving what God and our founding fathers intended the United States to be. Not a chop zone, but holy ground, where we can lift up God and praise Jesus Christ and speak the truth without being tracked or traced or trolled or lose your job because of it. So heretofore, this day, we the people of Fox River Church, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice and promote domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, do ordain and establish Fox River Church as a sanctuary church for the United States Constitution, so help us God. My name is Kevin Garner, and I approve this message. The first thing that we need to understand about our situation, we are facing tyranny. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to understand about our situation. We're not only facing tyranny, we are also in a country that is under the judgment of God. In case you wonder why all this crazy stuff is happening in America right now, that's why all this crazy stuff is happening in America right now. Christians say, Kevin, Donald Trump is more conservative than Ronald Reagan. Donald Trump did more for pro-life and religious freedom than any president we ever had. And he was the best friend that Israel ever had in the White House. And God says, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, He will bless everybody who blesses Israel. So Kevin, why did Donald Trump lose the election? And why did he get impeached again? Why isn't God answering our prayers? Why isn't God fulfilling His promises? It's judgment, people. Until we wake up and go back to Him. God says when He says judgment, the Bible says that judgment comes suddenly. And that's exactly what we've seen through this whole pandemic. Coronavirus came to America suddenly. People got sick with coronavirus suddenly. Jobs and businesses disappeared suddenly. The economy went from best to worst suddenly. Stores ran out of toilet paper suddenly. Churches went from essential to non-essential suddenly. It's the judgment of God on this country. The Bible says when God sends judgment, there will be fear on every side. The FBI says 100,000 shock troops could show up in Washington, D.C. this coming Wednesday to try to stop the inauguration of Joe Biden. And there could be coordinated armed assaults on every single state capital that same day. Fear. Right now, 25,000 troops are patrolling the streets of Washington, D.C. Our major cities are like ghost towns. The U.S. Capitol is like a war zone. America today is like Escape from New York. Folks, look at those pictures. That is exactly what a nation looks like when it's being judged by God. And I hate to sneeze on anybody's breakfast here, but we do have to understand the situation that we're in. We know our nation is under the judgment of our God because all the signs are there. The Bible says when God judges the nation, He will give them bad people for leaders. And who, boy, last January the 5th, did Georgia ever pick a doozy? The Reverend Raphael Warnock, who's a racist because he calls Jewish people termites and says that whiteness is satanic. A socialist who wanted Fidel Fat Castro to come and pastor his church. Who wants to defund the police and says you cannot be a Christian and still serve in the United States military. Pastor Raphael Warnock abused his wife, covered up sexual abuse at children's camps that he sponsored in the summertime, and is super, super pro-abortion. And this guy pastors the exact same church that Reverend Martin Luther King did in Atlanta. And sane, conscious people actually made him a U.S. senator. Dennis Prager said it's not proof that Georgia turned blue, it's proof that Georgia turned stupid. This is the judgment of God. The Bible says when God judges a nation, He will turn them over to a reprobate mind. Joe Biden says one of his first priorities will be signing the Equality Act that gives special rights to LGBTQs. So guys who think they're girls can now take a shower with your daughter at school in PE class. And when your pastor one day decides that he's really a woman instead of a man, you won't be able to fire him based on your church's statement of faith because the Equality Act specifically says no exceptions based on religious convictions. So kiss your religious freedom goodbye. It's judgment. The Bible says when God judges a nation, your enemies will attack you. We look at Joe Biden, we see a weak, frail, doddering old man. So let me ask you, what do you think our enemies, China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea see when they look at him? America has a serious problem, folks. It's not just political. It's not just financial. It's not just racial. More than anything else, it is spiritual. America is under the judgment of God. We know America is being judged by God right now because of all the attacks by the left against Christians. Because the left doesn't mess around. They don't debate. They don't have discussions. They just intimidate you into compliance. The picture you see on the screen is Drew Brees, quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, warming up before his game against the Chicago Bears last week. Last spring, Drew Brees came out and said Americans should honor the American flag. And Black Lives Matter crawled all over him, threatened his football career, even threatened to kill his family. So today, there's Drew Brees dutifully wearing the Black Lives Matter t-shirt with the slogan, "Say her name for Breonna Taylor." You don't toe the leftist line, there is hell to pay. All over America right now, people are losing their jobs just because they went to the Trump rally in Washington, D.C. on January the 6th. Even though they didn't do anything illegal and never got arrested for anything. People are losing their jobs all over America today because somebody in HR found something conservative or Christian that they posted on a website. Marquette University threatened to cancel the college admission of a freshman student named Samantha Pfefferly just because she posted a Trump video on TikTok. Major League Baseball Hall of Fame pitcher Curt Schilling got dropped from his insurance plan last week, AIG, because he posted something pro-American on Facebook. You don't agree with them? They will shut you up and shut you down. People, we are headed toward French Revolution territory. What's next? Off with their heads? It gets even worse. Eugene Robinson, one of the editors of the Washington Post, said all Trump supporters are cult members that need to be deprogrammed. And Michael Beller, one of the lawyers for PBS, said Christians should have their children taken away from them so those children can be reeducated in government-sponsored enlightenment camps. Joseph Stalin would be proud. And even though he got fired for that comment, how many other people at PBS think exactly the same thing? And they churn out tons of children's programming. It gets even worse. An outfit called Secular Democrats for America last fall handed Joe Biden a 28-page document demanding that he do this. Eliminate all government support for crisis pregnancy centers and abstinence-only education. Strip parents of all exemptions to mandatory vaccinations for their children. Remove "In God We Trust" from all of our currency. Remove all government protection for religious liberty. Support all governors in closing all churches and houses of worship for the duration of the COVID pandemic. Comprehensive sex education to encourage all children to change genders and engage in the deviant sex. Totally separate religious faith from patriotism. I could go on and on. You say, Kevin, do you honestly think Joe Biden would do any of things? Listen to me. Joe Biden will do whatever his puppet masters tell him to do. Welcome to Joe Biden's new unity, where unity is all about uniformity. You can have free speech as long as it's speech that they approve of. It gets even worse. Because this coming Wednesday, if Joe Biden is inaugurated as President of the United States, there will be a perfect merger of the radical left with big tech. Because the left wants to control every single area of your life by controlling everything you see and hear and think. And now with big tech, they have the ability to control everything that you see and hear and think. So big tech becomes big brother. And that ought to scare the living daylights out of every single American who still thinks. Because if we no longer have free speech, America as we know it no longer exists. Benjamin Franklin said this, "Freedom of speech is a principal pillar of a free government. But when this support is taken away, the foundation of a free society is dissolved and tyranny is erected on the ruins." People, that's what's coming. We can see it coming. With the help of big tech, the radical left will rise up to be the saviors of America because they will censor and silence whatever they determine is misinformation or hate speech so people aren't turned into domestic terrorists like all of you conservative Christians are. And they'll do it all in the name of keeping you safe. Can anybody else read the writing on the wall or is it just me? Brothers and sisters, see you in Siberia. It's the judgment of God. And it is absolutely critical that we understand why it's here. And nothing shows it better than that. Emanuel Cleaver is a Democrat member of the U.S. House of Representatives from Missouri. And he's also an ordained Methodist pastor. And last Sunday, January the 3rd, he was invited to give the opening prayer at the opening session of the 117th Congress. And he simply asked God in that prayer that God would help Congress at a time when America is in serious trouble. But then, this is how he closed that prayer.
We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. A man and a woman.
And of course, everybody jumped right away on the amen, a woman nonsense. Because amen is taken from a Hebrew word that simply means faithful. And Christians have been saying amen for 2,000 years. It's just a way to say, so be it, I agree, yes, for certain. So amen doesn't have anything to do with gender, male or female at all. And Reverend Cleaver knows that. He said he just made that comment, a woman, to give a shout out to all the women who had been elected to the House of Representatives. But what most people never even commented on and missed, he closed that prayer by calling out to all different kinds of gods from all different kinds of religions beside Christianity. Even Brahma. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God Brahma and God known by many names, by many different faiths. Implying, of course, that all gods are exactly the same, which they are not. Brahma is a Hindu god that has four different faces and was supposedly born out of a lotus leaf that supposedly came out of the belly button of another Hindu god named Vishnu. But Christians, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, though there are many so-called gods, for us there is but one God, from whom all things come and for whom we exist, a God who revealed Himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ and came to this earth in human form and died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead for our salvation. That's the God of the Bible. That's the God of Christianity. That's the only God there is. That's the God our founding fathers built this country on. One nation under that God and that God alone. And the reason that America is under judgment right now is because too many people don't care any more about that God than the man in the moon. And even those who do don't give him his props. Even people who should know better, like Reverend Emanuel Cleaver. That heretic pronounced a curse on this country by dedicating the 117th Congress to a demonic spirit. And at a time when we need the God of the Bible more than ever to pull our fat out of the fire, we just keep dissing him and sticking our thumb in his eye. So God says, okay, you think you can do this on your own? Have at it. We'll see what happens. People, we are seeing that right now in spades. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17. Any nation that rejects God will be cast into hell. America, that is where we're headed. But the only reason that God sends judgment on a nation to begin with is because it's an act of mercy. God is trying to get us to wake up and go back to Him and return to Him and repent so that we can be saved. So for crying out loud, can we get serious and can all the political correctness and the wokeness and the identity politics and return to the Lord with all of our heart and soul before it's too late? Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. Let us return to the Lord, because even though He has torn us, He will heal us. And even though He has wounded us, He will bind up our wounds and save us from judgment. The second thing we need to understand about our situation, we're in a country that is facing the judgment of God. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to understand about our situation. We're not only facing tyranny, we're not only under God's judgment, but third, we need to trust God like nobody's business. And Christians, listen to me. If we're going to do this, we'd better hurry. Because America right now is in a really, really, really dark place. Divided like the Grand Canyon. And President Donald Trump didn't do it. His presidency just exposed that division that's been simmering there for a long, long time. And the question is, how in the world do we fix it? Well, the theme for Joe Biden's inauguration ceremony is America United. Yeah, unity if we lobotomize ourselves and give up all of our convictions. And the left says, see, you do that, the sun will come out again. And everybody will join hands and sing Kumbaya, and everybody will be happy because we all agree with him. Fat chance. It's not Joe Biden. It's not Donald Trump. The only one who can unify the United States of America is Jesus Christ. People, we need to trust God like nobody's business. We need to trust God because, let me ask you, who or what else are we going to trust? Because it's become crystal clear, especially in the last few months, we can't trust government at all. Do you know why a gazillion people showed up in Washington, D.C. last January the 6th? Because they know that the election was stolen. Polls show over 40% of Americans know the election was stolen, including Democrats and independents. And yet the vast majority of people in government couldn't care less. Over 1,000 eyewitnesses signed affidavits in multiple states testifying to the fraud that they saw. But Congress wouldn't even listen to one single testimony. Not one. Over 300 legal teams filed over 300 different lawsuits in all the six swing states. But 69 judges, including the United States Supreme Court, wouldn't even so much as look at any of the evidence. Our founding fathers purposely put Inauguration Day on the calendar 2 months after Election Day. So if there was any fraud during the election, they would have 2 months to investigate. There wasn't any investigation done here at all in a serious way. Nothing to see there. And then last January the 5th, two communists got elected in Georgia using the same corrupt mail-in ballot system that was used on November the 3rd. We need election reform like crazy. But now, after January the 6th, do you know any Republican, any conservative that's going to have enough guts to stand up and ask for it? How about Adam Kinzinger? You think he's going to do it? Adam Kinzinger was elected to the U.S. House of Representatives in 2010 by the Tea Party. Remember them? And Adam Kinzinger stood right there in this church, right there, speaking during one of our Veterans Day services, promising us that he was conservative. Then after he went to Washington, spent 10 years stabbing us in the back, never voted for Donald Trump in 2016, took every chance he got to slam him on CNN, says anybody who believes there was election fraud is an idiot, and was one of the first Republicans to race to a microphone and call for impeachment. And you know why he did that? Because he thinks that's going to get some leftists to vote for him when he runs for governor of Illinois. I got an idea. How about we impeach Adam Kinzinger? Every single government body, every single government institution our founding fathers put in place to rectify what happened on Election Day failed. Because politicians care more about their career than they do about this country. That's why the Capitol building was attacked on January the 6th. Now, does that excuse it? Of course not. Absolutely not. But it does explain it. Desperate people do desperate things. Psalm chapter 118, verse 8, do not put your trust in man. We got to trust in God. Because I realize 2020 was the year from hell. And especially after these last 2 months, we Christians are so mad, so sad, so depressed, so frustrated, so discouraged, we are ready to scream. Remote learning is cheating your kids out an entire year of school. Your family business that your family has had for generations is going belly up. Congressmen said they were scared on January the 6th in the Capitol building. Try going without a paycheck for 10 months to support your family. You'll find out what scared is. Your dad is dying in a nursing home, but you can't go see him because you might give him a virus. Even though he'd lots rather be dead than not be able to visit with you. Anthony Fauci, the self-appointed normalcy officer, says with three vaccines out there, we maybe can start thinking about reopening again later on this fall. This fall. Are you kidding me? Too late for him. 18-year-old Dylan Buckner, starting quarterback and captain of the football team, Glenbrook North High School, with offers from all kinds of Division III schools. National Honor Society, got a 34 on his ACT, went to church every Sunday, incredible role model, but last Thursday, January the 7th, he committed suicide because he couldn't stand not being able to go to school and be with his friends and play football. And let's be perfectly clear, it wasn't the pandemic that killed him. What killed him was the lockdown. The stupid lockdown that defies all sense and all science. Kids in Illinois are not dying of COVID, they're dying from suicide. This state is so bad, our governor's own family doesn't even live here. The governor's daughter lives in Florida because there she can go to school and she can be with her friends and she can play sports and she can do her horse jumping competitions. God help us, people. But listen, don't you dare check out on us if you're thinking about it. You keep trusting God because we are not going to give up. Right now, hundreds of thousands of California citizens are signing petitions to recall Governor Gavin Newsom. Right now in Pennsylvania, there is a committee starting impeachment proceedings against Governor Tom Wolf of Pennsylvania because there was election fraud in that state and he did nothing about it. People are not quitting. For years and years, there was a strip club in Ventura, California called Cheetahs, a real sleazy place. And for years and years, local churches in Ventura, California prayed that that place would close down. 2019, it finally did. Because the owners were arrested for sex trafficking. So the churches in Ventura, California got together and bought the building for $80,000 and remodeled it. And turned it into a ministry center. With a sanctuary. And a worship place. And a coffee shop. And a bookstore. And a homeless shelter. And a food pantry. You name it. And because in California, for some crazy reason, strip clubs can stay open while churches have to be closed, they just conveniently forgot to file for tax-exempt status with the state. And they renamed the place the Adoration Station, which purposely still kind of sounds like it could still be a strip club. So all during the pandemic, they've been operating wide open, flying under the radar, reaching out with the gospel and saving people to beat the band. So Christians, listen to me. I don't care how many there are who oppose us. We've got ministry opportunities coming out of our ears, and there is nothing stopping us from doing it. So I don't care what our enemy does. We ain't going anywhere. We're not going to sit down. We're not going to shut up, and we're not going to go away till the rapture takes us away. So pray without ceasing. Don't be weary in well-doing, and keep trusting God like nobody's business. We've got to trust the Lord. We've got to trust in God because you and I have no idea what all really happened in that Capitol building on January the 6th. I do know this. Some protesters stormed the building. Some people got injured. The Secret Service had to escort Vice President Mike Pence and Congressman to a safe place. Shots were fired. Tear gas was released in the Capitol Rotunda. Five people got killed. It was not a good look for the United States. That I know is true. That I know for sure. And it's important to remember that because there's all kinds of things I don't know. There's all kinds of things about that day that I don't know for sure. All kinds of things that people tell me and people email me and that people that text Sue on their phone. Just so everybody realizes, Sue and I do not and have never had cable TV. So we have never seen Fox. We have never seen Newsmax. I have never seen QAnon. And even though people send us and text us hundreds and hundreds of videos on YouTube saying, you've got to watch this one, you've got to watch this one, the bandwidth in our computer at home is about this big. We can't see hardly any of them. And in case anybody needs to be reminded, I am not retired. I pastor a church. And I do not have time to live on the internet. So people tell me hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things about what Trump is doing and where he's at and what happened over here and what's going on in the world. I can't say things in sermons that I don't know are true. I can't. Now, was the attack on the Capitol building last January the 6th? Was that an attempt by the deep state to impeach President Trump again? Or did President Trump set it up in order to get Nancy Pelosi's laptop computer? Because I've heard both. People have told me. I don't know. I don't know what's true. The Capitol Hill police were in on it. The Capitol Hill police were not in on it. I don't know. Vice President Mike Pence did or he did not have the constitutional authority to decertify electoral votes. I don't know. Is Donald Trump going to use the United States military in Washington, D.C. this coming Wednesday to try to take back the presidency and stop Joe Biden's inauguration? Because people have told me that. I don't know. I don't know for sure. Nothing would make me happier than President Trump continuing to be president, but I don't know. But this I do know. Something about the House chamber in the Capitol building. Something that most people don't know because the media purposely never talks about it or shows it on TV. Not even during the events of last January the 6th. The pictures you see here on the bottom of the screen are the most circulated pictures from the events of that day. The pictures that most people in the world saw. Pictures that are the epitome of American trouble. Congressmen and members of the House of Representatives cowering on the floor and behind the seats while security guards with guns drawn are keeping protesters out of the House chamber. But what the media never showed you was the front of the House chamber, where the Speaker of the House sits. What's above the flag? And what's above the flag on the wall behind the speaker stand? They never showed you that because they never show you that. Even on C-SPAN, even in the State of the Union address, they never show it. And because of that, most Americans don't even know that it's there, which is just fine with the left. But it makes all the difference in the world. And it would have made all the difference in the world January the 6th if they would have showed it. And I know that that thing is there on the wall behind the speaker stand, above the chair, above the flag, because in 2007, Sue and I got to take a tour of that House chamber in the Capitol building. And we got to sit in the exact seat where the First Lady sits every time her husband gives a State of the Union address. And we saw it there on the back wall. Something that Congress 164 years ago demanded to be carved on that back wall when that room was built in 1857. And the next picture, you see what it is. There above the chair, above the flag, on the wall behind the speaker stand, carved onto a marble mantle, are these words, "In God we trust." Congressmen in 1857 demanded that be carved there because they knew that they could not govern the United States of America without trust in God, and that America would never survive without faith in God. Not in government we trust, but in God we trust. Because God is not the problem, He's the solution. And if America had remembered that on January the 6th, if members of the House and Senate had remembered that on January the 6th, that Capitol building would have never been attacked. Those representatives would not have been cowering on the floor, and America today would not be up for grabs. So don't tell me that God wasn't trying to use the events of that day and the pictures from that whole sorry mess to send America a message. That the chaos and the destruction and the fighting and the controversy over this election and the absolute insanity is never, ever, ever going to stop until Americans, both right and left, both Republican and Democrat, get on their knees before God and cry out to Him and come back to Him in faith and repentance and trust Him to sort this whole mess out. We do that, our country will be saved. We don't do that, our country is doomed. And you can take all those gory pictures from January the 6th and multiply them times 10 trillion is what's going to happen in this nation. We've got to trust in God. But Kevin, the election was stolen. I know it was. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do everything we possibly can to uncover it. But in God we trust. Kevin, America's a powder keg. In God we trust. Joe Biden has a radical agenda. In God we trust. Our representatives don't care. In God we trust. Kevin, we don't do something, we're going to lose this country. We will do something. We will do what God tells us to do. And we will do it when God tells us to do it. Until that time, in God we trust. Christians, I have to tell you, at the start of 2021, our situation ain't looking good. We have many enemies who want to shut us up and shut us down in a nation that is up to its eyeballs in the judgment of God. But we need to remember that's just our situation in the natural. Because above all, in the supernatural realm, our situation couldn't be any better. Because in the spiritual realm, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, who is above all, with all authority in heaven and on earth. And He died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead for our salvation to prove it. Which means that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that Jesus cannot do for us or for this country if we just trust Him. So just for a moment, just for a second, just for a while, before this church service is over and everybody goes home and we jump back into the next week and go back to work and deal with the inauguration and the impeachment and all the chaos and all kinds of other things we have no idea what to do about, just for a moment, just for a while, let's let the Lord take us to that spiritual realm where He is above all. And because He is above all, He's in control of it all and can take care of it all. And because He is above all, He can take us up above it all too.
Fall. rejected and alone.